Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education regular public Board of Education meeting for September 22nd, 2015. Call to order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mr. Gardner.
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Smith. Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Walsh. Sean Nolan. Julia Hohenstein.
Here.
Matthew Del Garcia. Megan Giaporti. We have a quorum.
And Mr. Walsh reached out today. He's traveling. He couldn't make it tonight. Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards, align with the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of the minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of August 25th, 2015. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Mr. Serino, do we have a second? Mr. Catani. Any discussion on the minutes? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
I believe I was not here for that meeting, so I'm abstaining.
Mr. Gardner.
Abstain.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. I'll now turn it over to Ms. Coates to issue the oath of office to our student board representative.
Thank you. This evening we have Julia with us, and I'm going to ask you, Julia, to please stand and raise your right hand.
All right. And repeat after me. I, please state your name.
I, Julia Hohenstein.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to same and to the governments established in the United States.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to same and the governments established by the United States.
And this state under the authority of the people, so help me God.
And this state under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Julia Hohenstein.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're on to our presentations, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Cation to introduce our first presentation.
Julia, welcome. And we're happy to see you tonight.
Thank you very much for being here.
Tonight, our first presentation is focused on our synergistic effort for energy savings. And before we have our presentation, I just want to compliment and thank the representative from Manasquan, who serves as our liaison between Synergistic and the Manasquan School District, Rich Reed. I've been so impressed with the hours you put in and your due diligence, to the point where sometimes your due diligence gives me a headache. But I know you're doing it for good reasons, and you're sacrificing a lot of time from your family. I mean, there's many days when he's there at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to check out what the HVAC system is doing, as well as coming back at 10, 11 o'clock at night to make sure all the lights have been put off and the HVAC system has been turned off. So I really want to thank you, because Lynn and I saw this as one of our initiatives and the board embraced it. And it's a way where we can save some money through energy savings. And this building is very difficult. We understand that, and thank you. And with them tonight is Paul Hammond, the Vice President of Synergistic. And Paul, thank you very much also for the effort you've put in here, because I know you spend a lot of time here, and you fly in consistently at odd times, so sometimes I see and sometimes I don't, but thank you. And with that, here's our presentation of where we are with Synergistic. I guess we can move so we can see it, but everybody else can see it, so we just want you to sit there and relax.
The program really began in January. We had a quick start program that ran from January through the end of April, and I got hired, I guess, at the end of February or for the beginning of March, and then took on. And then the report here is from May to July, because that's my first, my performance went on in July. I had a couple months of getting in tune with the program and figure out where we were going to go. The goals of the program here, we want to achieve an energy culture. We had a great meeting with the Environmental Club today. They're on board, so we're going to work on establishing that culture throughout the building, maintaining and improving the comfort and safety, eliminating energy waste within the buildings, in both buildings, using it to create a positive educational environment, and saving money that we could possibly use for other programs. All right, my job is to perform audits on the building, and we do 18 to 25 of those a week. At various hours. Paul from Synergistic has been a tremendous help. I came in this not knowing very much about the energy field, but it's been a whirlwind tour for the last 4 or 5 months of knowledge gained. I've been to a couple conferences and stuff. But we typically meet at 5 o'clock in the morning and go through the buildings when we have our meetings. But I'm in and out of buildings at different times. We've done over 400 audits. There's training that I'm required to go through, both here, where they come to the building. They've sent HVAC specialists here. Paul has come, we've worked with the data analysis. I'm able to have on-site remote visits with their engineers from Dallas into our system, and working on the inner workings of that to try to set the system up. I've been involved, went to a national training conference this summer in Chicago. And I'll be going again in December or January to Dallas. There's two a year that we go to, plus the remote visits. It's been a pretty intense learning environment for me. We have gotten the staff on board. The staff has been tremendous, because they came into it without really any prior knowledge, and I just asked them, went around and talked to them and asked them to do some things, and we refer to it as split, before you split, and turning off your speakers and your lights and your any technology that you have before they go. So it was just a change of behavior for them. They really embraced it. And we really want to try to promote this positive energy conservation culture in the building. Where we really save the money is at night when there's nobody in the building. Right? The goal is to operate the building as is necessary when there's people in the building, and then save the money when people aren't operating in the building. As far as measurement and verification, they keep score. I enter the data every year, every month from the bills. It's verified, it's audited, it's available to both Synergistic and to the school district to take a look at. It's a third-party software that we work with through EnergyCap that the school has hired, and they use international performance verification protocol to measure the data. So it's authentic data, and it's verified data that we use to make our decisions on. EnergyCap is in State College, Pennsylvania. They adhere to industry standards on measuring savings. They account for weather. They show reduced consumption and savings, try to help to gain behavioral patterns that we can. We make the use of data loggers. We have six of them that we put in different areas of the building that we're concerned about or that we're working on to try to reduce energy, gather data, and try to make informed decisions based on the information that we get, as opposed to just reacting on a daily basis. We try to make an informed decision and move forward in our assessment of what we're doing. Just a little bit about the numbers here. Our baseline for consumption, based on past performance, is 793,000 kilowatt hours that we would use in May to July. Okay, we expected to use 736, but based on adjustments for weather, we actually used 542,000. So we saved 250,000 kilowatt hours in May, June, and July, in 3 months. That's a significant savings. On the natural gas, again, not so much natural gas usage because it's only during the winter time, but our baseline was 9403 because of the weather. We expected to use 9657 therms. We actually used 2,911. All right, so a significant reduction in the amount of energy that we used for the heating for the building. All right. Water, a minimal amount of savings. So I think that's our next area, is to take a look at how we can work in that area. Okay. From a numbers standpoint, from May to July, my performance savings is $47,964 of savings. Between taking the total savings of $74,000 and subtracting out what we did in the quick start, so the net gain for us in those 3 months is $47,000. If you look down, you take the district expenses out of there, the net savings to the district is $47,143. That takes into account software fees, Synergistic fees, and the salary that they pay me to do this. Right, but that's in, January, that's in a 3 month period of time we put that together. So I think the savings are significant. It's 23%. The elementary school is a 30% savings because that has controls on the system. It's a little bit easier to work with. Here is everything is manually controlled, so it's the savings have been a little bit less, but I think we're working in that direction. That's to get those under control. So I think the savings have been significant. I think it's been a fantastic program. I think they're only going to get better as we get better at learning how to save. All right, so some of the benefits there. Go to the savings equation. 84 metric tons of CO2 we've reduced our usage by. That's 18 cars we've taken off the road, or the planting of 2,160 trees in that 3 month period of time. So it's I think it's going very well from that standpoint. And like I said, I think there's much more upside to it as well. From a teamwork standpoint, this is a program that really involves everybody. The school board for taking it on, the community, because dealing with the outside groups that come into the building, understanding what we're asking them to do and their cooperation there. The maintenance staff and custodians, I can't say enough about, and how they've jumped on board with this and embraced where we're going, because they really help drive the program, because they're in the building when nobody else is, when the building is empty. And it's that times we can make savings. And their efforts to turn lights down and turn air conditioners off and heaters off and on a regular basis and being mindful of it on a daily basis has been just exemplary. I can't tell you the amount of cooperation and level of participation that they've given us. The teachers jumped on board. They're doing what we're asking them to do. And the principals and staff, they were coordinating at meetings, looking at initiatives going forward as to where we want these grant opportunities that we're pursuing, and trying to get everybody's input on where we can go and best use that grant money for the future of the district. Right, where are we going in the future? We're going to work on time of day schedules. Building use efficiency. We're going to apply for Energy Star recognition. That comes after a year. We'll start the process now. Personally, I want to work on the pumps and exhaust fans. It's exciting stuff, but I got to tell you, 2 o'clock in the morning on the roof, one, there's a great view, but you can hear everything when you're up there. So you can hear every single exhaust fan that's on, and then that's allowed me now to track it back to where it works, where it starts, and make sure that we have a way of getting it off at a proper time. So it's really a good view up there, from way up top. Preparing for breaks, opportunities where the building is closed for extended periods of time where we can really save money, and continuing to work on that culture, and continuing with my training as we go forward. And thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to being back here again with better results even than next time. Right. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Live next door, and I noticed there were several, about four or five air conditioning contractor trucks here right about the beginning of the school year. Does that have anything to do with this program?
Not with me specifically. It might have been in the maintenance. We work on the operation of them, the starting and stopping them. The facilities maintenance people work with the running of them and the repairing of this, so I can't really speak to that. Anything else?
To answer that question, though, if you don't mind, everything we do with energy has to do with this program. And those trucks at that particular time were focusing on a problem that we had in a unit in the elementary school. We also weren't getting the proper temperatures in our classrooms in the high school. So they didn't find problems in the high school, but they did find problems in the elementary school in regards to a leak and a piece of equipment that had to be fixed. So they had 2 days and they did fix that. That was in the beginning of the school. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Thanks, Rich.
I'm very excited about this. $47,000 savings is just awesome.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I just asked them, really, 3 months?
Again, it's the due diligence that did that. A learning organization is only as good as its people, and tonight we're afforded an opportunity to hear from an essential part of our learning organization. I've asked our building principal of the high school to come and present tonight, as well as our director of curriculums, focusing on exactly how well we're doing. And I just want to take this opportunity to compliment Mr. Coppola, not only on his compassion for students, but your strength of leadership, Rick, in regards to instruction. We truly are where we are because of the fact of Rick's focus on instruction that he had before I came here, but I've seen it expand. And just the fact that the numbers that we had in our engineering academy speaks to that point. And as we speak, I believe we have how many in our education academy, our engineering academy?
We're at 45.
45 students, and this is the first year. That's wonderful. So now, I don't want to steal from you, Rick. Rick is going to focus on our accomplishments.
Okay. Heather, thank you. Good evening. I wanted to thank Dr. Cajun and the board for this opportunity to really focus on what's the most important thing to us here at the high school, and that's student achievement. We have so many programs here that we're proud of, everything from our academies to our arts programs, our athletic program, and really going back and taking a look at some of the things that our students have accomplished over the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years, it's just amazing. Jesse told you I'm going to do this.
That's the right arrow.
Is that all right?
Right arrow.
There we go. And what specifically what I wanted to focus on tonight is Manasquan High School's Advanced Placement Program and our College Acceptance Overview. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, I wanted to speak about at our first outside graduation was just how well our students did in terms of college acceptances. The weather didn't allow for that, though. However, we kind of got cut a little short. But I wanted to take this opportunity to tie these two things together. I was on a family vacation over the summer, and a good friend of mine is also a high school principal in Mercer County, and we used to teach together, and we tend to be kind of competitive in how we interact. And one of the discussions that came up was just about the kids, the student body at our respective schools. And he said to me, he said, "How would you, if you had to pick one word to discuss your student body, what would you choose?" And I thought about it for a while because there's so many things. And the best word I could think to come up with to describe our student body is competitive. And when we think about our students being competitive, we think about the athletic fields. We think about, you know, every year at Squanathon, it's, you know, we're going to do better. We're going to raise more money. But the other place where they're very competitive and they always look to achieve is in the classroom. And when you combine that with a teaching staff that is willing to offer opportunities and push students, you have an opportunity for greatness. And that's what we have here. And I just want to go over some of these numbers with you because, I just want to highlight some of the great accomplishments that have occurred over the last couple of years. Before I go any further, before I talk about results, I want to go back to something that has really been a focus since Dr. Cajun got here, and that's a shared vision. And what we see here is our success is due to a number of different factors. School community vision of excellence, outstanding planning and instruction by our teachers. Our teachers not only do a great job in the classroom, curriculum writing, collaboration, and the use of educational technology, especially with our one-to-one curriculum. I know Rich himself did some curriculum writing over the summer. We're constantly in the process of updating our curriculum and offering new courses. Consistent leadership by all department supervisors. We have an unbelievable system here that really lends itself to content area specialists. Our student growth objectives, they provide feedback to teachers, vertical articulation, and improved evaluation model, which we implemented last year. High standards and proactive planning by all parties. We've added AP courses in the past. I'll get to that in a second. New honors level pathways. We have junior exam exemptions that are relatively new that are linked to student achievement. We have new weighted honors courses at the ninth grade. We just started a honors world history program that goes along with our honors English and honors biology, which have all been introduced in the last 5 years. Support from our Board of Education in supporting initiatives and programs. And this is, I can't thank the board enough for supporting us in this way. And that goes from giving us the opportunity to celebrate these achievements to providing funding for AP tests and also our PSAT, which we will be giving in October of this year. Improved articulation with sending districts and also enhanced recruitment planned by our Dean of Students, Mr. McCarthy. Mr. McCarthy and our guidance department, they make regular visits to our sending districts, not only the eighth graders, but the seventh graders as well, in an effort to try to capture as many students as possible and highlight some of the programs we have here. And creative student-centered scheduling by our guidance department. We have a guidance department that creates a master schedule that allows students to take academy courses in our Academy of Finance, in our Health Careers Academy, but they also have the opportunity to be able to take AP courses. And that gets to the second part of our discussion. What you can see with AP testing, the advanced placement The Advanced Placement Testing Program, it recognizes school students who have demonstrated college-level achievement through AP course and exams. The American Council of Education recommends that an AP exam grade of 3 or higher to be awarded 3 semester hours of college credit. The way that AP tests are scored is from 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. 3 is considered to be qualified by the College Board. And finally, MHS mandates that all students enrolled in AP classes take the subject area test. Honors and AP students must be prepared to accept the academic challenges that go with these courses. And this gives you an overview of the last 6 years as to what our students and our teachers have done here at Manasquan High School. Since 2009, the number of tests given have gone from 157 to 229, which is the highest in Manasquan High School history, showing an increase of 45.8%. Our number of AP students has grown from 105 to 134, the highest in Manasquan High School history. And that also is an increase of 27.6%. Percentage of students scoring a 3 or above, that success is defined by the College Board, 69% in 2009 to 84% for a 21.8 increase. The New Jersey average is 74%. And the percentage of tests scoring 4 or above, and this is really amazing, 28% in 2009, we've almost doubled that percentage over a 6-year period, 97.9 increase, which is really spectacular. And again, the credit for this goes to our students and our teachers for being able to hold those high standards and prepare these students for these tests and for the next step. This improvement in two areas, one in the number of tests that we've given, and two in our percentage of high scores, allowed us to be recognized a couple of years ago by the College Board as a member of the College Board AP Honor Roll. The College Board AP Honor Roll is the top 5% of AP schools in the country, again, as related to more students taking the AP exams and higher AP scores. Manasquan High School makes the College Board AP Honor Roll. Only 539 schools that year actually made it, only 34 districts in New Jersey, and only 3 districts in Monmouth County. And this is just some of the criteria by which the College Board recognizes. This was part of a press release that came out again a couple of years ago. I do have a copy of that press release for anyone that's interested. But again, it just gives you a kind of an idea as to how we earned the distinction that we did. And really what that goes on to highlight is, and this, yes, why is AP, why are advanced placement courses so important to the success of a high school and to the future of our students? And the answer is this. When you look at the college application process and students moving forward, one of the most important factors is strength of schedule. And when you put together a transcript, and when you put together a body of work that has a number of AP courses on it, what you will see is our students will not only compete with other schools in New Jersey, but our students will be able to compete with students all over the country, because their transcripts and their strength of schedule will allow them to get into some of the finest schools. And what I did was we made a compilation of all of the schools, and this is just from the class of 2015, that our students were accepted to and are currently matriculating at. And when you take a look at some of these schools, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of them and kind of add in some of the other schools over the last couple of years that our students have gone to, but we have students that have graduated from Manasquan in the last year, 2 years, 3 years, that are at schools like Georgetown. We have 2 students right now walking the campus of Princeton University. 2 students from the class of 2015 were accepted and are attending Cornell, Notre Dame University, the University of Virginia, the Air Force Academy, Rutgers, the College of New Jersey, Bucknell, Furman, Lafayette, Haverford, Villanova, the University of Richmond, St. Joe's,
these are the kind of schools that our kids are going to. And as we move forward, and as we're able to, again, set the bar a little higher, our kids are going to strive and are even going to do better things. And all of these different schools, the other part of this is the diversity of a lot of these schools. We have students that are going to schools like the Savannah School of Art and Design. We have students that have gone to USC to study film. We offer such a wide variety of courses here between our electives and our APs that we are giving our students the opportunities to do great things. And I want to tell you that based on what we're hearing and based on the feedback that we're getting back from recent graduates, they are doing great things. And they feel very prepared as they move on to their next step. So this just gives you a list of the schools. It's included in the packet. And I just wanted to get to the last slide, because I know we're kind of pressed for time. And the last point is, what are we going to do moving forward? Because again, we get back to competition. We want to get better. And in order for us to get better for our kids and for our teachers and for our school, this is what we'd like to do. Continued professional development opportunities for all our teachers. This does not just mark the success for those teachers who teach AP classes. This is about vertical articulation. This is from the time that students come in here as freshmen that they know what high expectations are. That's why we spent so much time developing a weighted honors program. Vertical articulation within our departments. Our department meetings are fantastic. Our freshman teachers talk to our sophomore teachers. Our sophomore teachers, you know, the collaboration here is just amazing, especially within the departments. They know what they want. Implementation of instructional technology, that ties in with our one-to-one initiative. Advanced placement honors waivers, which I'll talk about in a second, and the addition of electives like painting, which just came up today, I had to include that one, that sounds fun, and other honors and advanced placement classes. This year we're offering AP statistics for the first time, and in future years, hopefully sooner rather than later, we hope to be able to offer AP environmental science and AP physics. The waiver system is something that we just tried for the first time this year, and this is really a major paradigm shift in the expectations of Manasquan High School. We had for a very long time kept a hard line on students who wanted to be in the honors level. For a student who wanted to move up to an honors level, they would have to achieve a 93 in their class. For students who wanted to stay in the honors level, they'd have to achieve or maintain an 85 average. What we've started to do, and we're piloting it this year, what we've started to do is take another look at that. And it goes into what I said before about opportunity. What we're looking to do is to collaborate with teachers, to collaborate with parents and students, and give those students who may not have made that grade, that hard 93 grade, and basically give them an opportunity to take these upper level classes, the honors and the AP classes. And the reason that we feel that that's important, and it would be a process that they go through that I won't get into right now, but the process would basically include talking to teachers, talking to supervisors about what expectations are, and really just understanding what it would take to succeed. We believe that in giving all students these kind of opportunities, that we can thrive and we could get even better in terms of our academic achievement. And that's really the direction that we feel that we need to go and the direction that we need to provide for our students for the future. So I thank you for the opportunity to give this presentation. Does anyone have any questions that let me answer?
Hi, yes, sir. There's some fairly expensive colleges on your list. How do your graduates compete in terms of financial assistance and scholarship?
They do very well. That's probably a more specific question for Sean McCarthy, our Dean of Students and Head of Guidance, but there's a lot of opportunities out there that our students take advantage of. There's a lot of local scholarships that have been very generous with us. We have a very good relationship, for example, with the Spring Lake Briel Rotary, who've done very well with our students. There's also, you know, money at the national level that our students also qualify for. And the other thing that people need to remember about Manasquan High School students is the fact that they are very, very service oriented. And that in itself, what they do on the outside in the community, also lends to opportunities for a lot more financial help as they move on.
Thanks.
Yep. Anyone else? Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think the democratic initiative is what made our country great. I'm happy to see us putting in waivers to afford students an opportunity to challenge themselves and reach a bar that they set for themselves and get actively engaged in the upper level classes. I think that's awesome, to borrow a word infrequently used. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Barbara Kerensky. To bring children to that particular threshold, it's very important that teachers also start to develop new skills. And we had talked about an academy for professional development for staff. And I just want to thank Barbara and her team that put this academy together. And tonight, Barbara's going to focus on that and also can focus on an answer to your question about the robotic curriculum that we put together tonight. Barbara?
Okay, good evening. Before we get right into this, as I listened to Mr. Coppola speak, I've been in the district 23 years, and when I first came here, I'll still hear it occasionally how Manasquan's all about sports, Manasquan's all about football, Manasquan's academics are, they're okay. We don't hear that anymore. And over the years, when I started here, I would not have said that was a true comment, but it was the perception, and we all know sometimes perception overrides truth. But when we're looking at this and what Mr. Coppola just presented and all the things that are going on here in Manasquan and the fabulous teaching staff we have and students, our academics surpasses the districts around us. And what I'm going to show you today is only happening because of our educational leaders within the school. What we've seen through professional development is, in the past, speakers would come in, some of them fabulous, some of them just okay, and all this teaching staff, 100 teachers, would sit in a room and listen to this teaching. And we'd sit there and we'd look around and we'd see this glazed look after a while, and some people were really getting a lot out of it and some were just, okay, this is okay, but I need to be thinking about X, Y, or Z. And with Dr. Cajun's encouragement, we decided that, and the state who now says professional development needs to be linked to teacher practice. What does a particular teacher need to become a better teacher in the classroom? So last spring, I put out an advertisement for volunteers to join a professional development academy. And ended up with both sides of the street. We had 18 teachers over at the high school, and I believe 10 teachers over at the elementary school that volunteered to give their time to develop this professional development academy. And where we started was, what do our teachers want to get better? What is it that we can do? And everyone agreed that we all have different needs, so let's ask them what they want. Did a lot of surveys and all. So the first thing we came up with as a district with our one-to-one initiative is that each department would have a technology initiative. So that's department-based. And both semesters, every single department in the school will be working on an initiative, a tech initiative, how they can use the tablets in their classrooms. Our first professional development day was September 2nd, and every teacher was on that tablet helping each other and working really hard. And here we are in week two and a half, and you walk down the halls and teachers are on their tablets, and the students are all on their tablets. It's incredible. Then we had our state training, and what we decided, we started this last year, we were going to use Safe Schools. It's an online program that addresses all the state requirements. So that our time would not take away from our professional development in school. Teachers could work on this on the outside during their own time, and we could do the other professional development that they would like to engage in during school time. So this year, online Safe Schools, we do like health emergencies, cyberbullying, child abuse, and each teacher has a deadline when they have to do it, and that's how we're meeting the state requirements. We used to open the school year with Michael D. Leone from Steered Straight for harassment, intimidation, and bullying. So we'll have some presenters come in, and other initiatives are online. The big professional development academy push is what we call teachers teaching teachers. And the way that came about is through the brainstorming of the academy, we talked about three different areas where people would like to have professional development. One was instructional strategies, the second was technology, and the last one was just staying strong as a teacher. We put it out there and we asked for volunteers, and we have 19 presenters for October 12th. In the packets that you got are descriptions of the different courses, apps to engage and excite learners, art and its application in all content areas, bring one, get one, bring a great strategy, and walk away hopefully with one. The whole idea of this is not to sit and be lectured at, not to be talked at, but really hands-on, and that's what we were looking for. That when you come into this workshop, you're going to do something and walk away with something that you can bring back to your classroom. And you can see there's a lot of technology here, Canvas, digital world, informational text, OneNote, Microsoft Office Mix, Office 365, OneNote for beginners, the QR codes in the classrooms, Sway, which Dr. Gino Kelly, he's gonna be our keynote speaker. He's from Microsoft. He's gonna come in and lead off the day with a presentation and then stay and do a tech workshop for our teachers. Water balloon battle outside the history classroom, what's in class support. The descriptions are in here and you can see exactly what the teachers are going to be doing. So everybody wanted to know, okay, when do we sign up? Because we were, you know, we said 15 in a group, that's it, we're closing it. We're gonna keep this small and hands-on. So I'm getting calls, Jesse's getting calls, okay, when are you putting this up? So Jesse did a fabulous job this weekend. I said, okay, we're ready to go, send out an email. It's going live at 8:30. Jesse called me 2 minutes later and said 34 teachers are already signed up in 2 minutes. And this is what they saw. Whoops. Okay, and so this is what they went on to this morning and throughout the day, and every presenter's picture is up with their course description, and there are three workshops, three sessions, and teachers signed up for one workshop in each session. So I have two in the morning and one in the afternoon. And as you can see, some of them are closed already. And we have, the whole staff has not yet, like OneNote, there's no seats left for the first session. And what filled up the quickest was our technology. So that's really exciting to see that the teachers are really getting involved in tech. So that's where we are with professional development right now. Any questions? Okay, curriculum, I know tonight you're approving our new curriculum. You have the list. I can answer any questions about any of the curriculum that was written. We had a lot of teachers working this summer. We are going to be developing a new curriculum template that's much more teacher friendly, and we're going to start a 5-year plan to start with all our curriculum and revise. And this year we're going to be starting on, we already have a plan for certain courses that we're going to address immediately. So I know there was a question about the robotics.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Could you just give a brief overview of that?
Or? I'll do the best I can. I'm really out of, no. It's 5 units. Okay, the first unit that they're going to be talking about is just getting started. What is engineering? What are the fundamentals of the robotics? The software, the hardware, the safety measures, a general introduction. Then they're going to move into their second unit is going to be about movement. And basically what they're going to do is with the robot, get through, and their programming, get the robot to move in different ways. So it's movement, sensors, colored sensors, and different ways to do this. They're going to learn the math application to it and work through. There's a lot of hands-on activities and games to learn how to develop the programs, have the robot, and have him move through the different aspects and get it to move and function. Some of the things they're going to do is robot virtual world games, applying math, calculate the number of wheel rotations a robot needs to move to travel a specific distance. So very application-oriented. Autonomous golf course mower, as using the robotics to do that. A traffic light challenge. They're going to work on loops, variable functions. So the math part of this would be involved. And the final unit they're going to be engaged in is called engineering process and context. So how does this apply to the world? You know, what are the what impacts do new technologies have on science, on society and the environment?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? We have a new Italian program, which started in the fall over at the elementary school. It'll be over in the high school in the spring. Rick mentioned the AP statistics, the World History Honors. In the English department, there's movies, films, and flicks, which talks about the history of film and the technology involved in creating film and how it's changed over the years. So lots of new exciting things coming up. Okay, questions? Okay.
Barbara, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was no way in hell. I was thinking more of a Starsky and Hutch type thing.
Sliding. I just want to thank everyone who presented tonight. I often say Manasquan's a magical place, and it's because of the people that I'm surrounded with. And it makes us so much stronger, and I have confidence in the students and the staff to reach that bar of excellence. And tonight I think you saw some examples of that. So thank you.
I have a question for, I guess, for Barbara or for you.
Sure.
One. Is there a time frame in which we look at the different, like I'm noticing a lot of the things have been updated 2012, 2015, and then we have some things that have been the same since 2009 with the phys ed?
Under this state statute, we're responsible to make sure that we have revised curriculums at the maximum of every 5 years. So the physical education curriculum, if it does say, we're currently looking at that, because CUSAC will be here, and one of the first things they do is they look at our curriculums and ensure that the board has approved updates within that 5-year period of time. And that's one of the ways we can lose points. So
right now we're out of compliance with...
We're looking at physical education.
With the physical education, they piloted in two programs. They piloted two programs last year, so that curriculum is being finished, and they were deciding, and I think we talked about this at a meeting, whether the program was going in the senior year or the freshman year. It's going in the freshman year. So it's just a matter of, and phys ed as we speak, they're both going to be writing curriculum, so we will be in compliance.
So 1, 2, 3, 4,
all of them are going to be redone? Yes. Okay. So this year, during the year, we'll be working on phys ed technology over at the elementary school, and social studies, and then science has to be revised for new generation science standards for next fall. So we'll be working on that throughout the year.
Barbara, thank you. The presentations are now concluded. Yes.
Before we move along with the agenda, I'd like to welcome Matthew, Megan, and Sean, and Ms. Coates is going to administer you the oath of office. So if you could please stand.
Okay.
Would you please raise your right hand and repeat after me? I, please state your name.
I, Matthew Delgarcia.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to same and to the governments established in the United States.
And that I will bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same and the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Matthew Delgarcia.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison of a Board of Education. And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office. According to the best of my ability, so help me God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you would please sign your statements, and before you leave this evening, just pass them down to me. Thank you.
We're going to go out of order and go to number 7. Do any of our student board representatives have a report they'd like to get? We'll start with Julia or Megan.
Well, from Key Club, so we had a very successful summer. We were able to give volunteers at the Fireman's Fair with the Elks Club. And in addition, at Brielle Day, we were able to help out the Women's Club. And also Shakespeare in the Park with the town of Spring Lake, which was very successful. And then our up-and-coming hours. So we are going to offer volunteers for tutoring and homework help across the street, which we do every single year. Then also the Manasquan High School Football Snack Shack, and that'll be for home games. The Spring Lake Library Tech Program, it needs volunteers to tutor kids with help on technology. And then also just one of the things that we're really trying to initiate this year is we're trying to get more freshman involvement. And instead of having them apply at the end of January like normal, we're including them right from the beginning and helping them get their 30 hours for their application right away.
Great. And Megan and Matthew?
Okay, so far we've met many times as the student council in the summer and leading into the school year. And we've welcomed the freshmen at orientation this fall, or in the beginning of the year. And also we welcome back the teachers with a big celebration. And we're excited to help improve upon the school that we already have.
Great. Thank you very much. So I'll turn it over now to Dr. Cajun for a superintendent's report.
Any report about tonight's athletic endeavors, or should I leave it alone? How do we do?
We both won.
We won.
Nicely done. We played Raritan, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Well done. Thank you. Focus first on our enrollment. Our total enrollment, as we speak, in the elementary school, 629, and in the high school, 967, total enrollment of 1,596. Also, tonight we heard a report from our building principal and our director of curriculum. Focusing on that, we have a number of students enrolled in our AP classes. We have 148 students enrolled in 17 AP classes. We have also 11 students enrolled in 2015-2016, you can correct me, Barbara, if I'm wrong, with the Italian program in semester 2.
I'm sorry, the
number? That's okay, it's correct.
Okay, it's
perfect. Nicely done.
I love it.
The number of students enrolled in the Academy of Finance, as we speak, we have 150 students who participate for the 2014-2015 school year, 117 students participating for the 2015-2016 school year, and we're in the process of ninth grade recruitment. The number of students enrolled in the Engineering Academy, we heard from our building principal tonight at the number at 43. I think that's admirable since it's our first year in that particular endeavor. At the elementary school, we have integrated preschool. We have 14 students enrolled for the 2015-2016 school year. We have 2 in the AM session, and we have 12 in the PM session. Number of students enrolled in Italian. We have 88 students enrolled for the 2015-2016 school year. In the largest classroom that we have, the elementary school, though, could fit 88 students. You're not going to correct me on that, Barbara?
No, I don't.
That's good. That's 88 students for 22 each semester as we go through four semesters. So, but I think that's great, 88 students. It's well done. We also have 19 students enrolled in our STEM Academy. We also have a new champion program this year. And in the AM session, we have 19 students. In the PM session, we have 25. We also have we had an AM session and a PM session last year for a before and aftercare program. And the enrollment there in the AM session was 12 and the PM session was 43. We also have this evening, as you can see, there's no report for the month for the fire drills. They'll be next month. And no report at this time for the harassment, intimidation, and bullying for the schools. However, in your folders, you do have the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights self-assessment. And on that self-assessment, there's a score. And there are several categories throughout as well. The highest score a school can achieve is 78. And understand, this score comes about from our school district security team taking a look at certain prerequisites and scoring themselves. And in the folder that you have, each category has been scored. And tonight, we're going to, it's on the agenda to approve this particular report. And as you can see, we were scored at a, I believe it's 76 on the last page. So we only missed perfect score by 2 points, which I think is great. Any questions on any one of the categories that exist there? We have one for the Manasquan High School and one for the Manasquan Elementary School. Now, this score is consistent with data collected by the school district and also from the state that we have presented to the state and they have approved. I know it was terse, but that's the end of my superintendent's report for this evening.
Do we have a motion to it? Approve and accept the superintendent's report. Mr. Serino, do we have a second? Mr. Gardner, any discussion on the superintendent's report? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. We're to our first public forum. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allocated a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the Manasquan items. I'd like to lump or group items number 11 through 21 together. Does anybody have anything they'd like pulled out 11 through 21? Do we have a motion for items 11 through 21? Mr. Catani, do we have a second? Mr. Serena, any discussion on any of these items? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serena.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. To the Manasquan Sanding District, items number 22. Through 36. Would anybody need anything separated? 22 through 36. Do I have a motion for 22 through 36? Mr. Vitale. Second. Mr. Gardner. Any discussion on any of these items? Sandy.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. We are to number 37, old business and new business. Does anyone have any old business that they'd like to discuss?
Just one thing. Can we just, I know that we just approved another extra help teacher. If there's as much need for the extra help program that we're adding another stipend position, can we ensure that the, I know that contractually the teachers have to stay a certain amount of time or a certain amount of days for extra help or mm-hmm. with students, can we just ensure that that's happening so that mm-hmm. if we're seeing that much of a need that we've added in the last few years two paid stipends for extra help on top of the ASL stipend positions that we, you know, have the teachers stay for their contractual time with the students who need the help, who best to help the kids with extra help or
homework. All right, then the
homework,
actual teacher.
If there's, yeah, it's the regular teacher.
And I think I would serve us well if I asked both principals to provide me with a schedule mm-hmm. of when the teachers were staying, because they have to, under contract, stay a day after school to help the children during the week. And if the students were aware of the schedule, it would help parents plan as well in the elementary school and also in the high school. So I'm with you. Also, you made me remember something, if I may. I wanted to ask the board to afford me the opportunity to research several different types of gifted and talented programs so I could bring those to the board in October and we could price them out to see if there's anything we can do differently this year with gifted and talented and how we could move forward with a gifted and talented program that's different than the one we used last year, and I could focus on the one we used last year with Barbara's help at our next Committee of a Whole meeting and look at the financial implications, Lynn, of those programs and see what we're able to do this year if we want to do something different or keep the same and what we'd look forward to presenting next year.
I know that I'd asked the previous administration to go to the sending districts and see what they have and if they are successful, but we never got, I don't know if she ever got any information or said she would, but it's never been presented back that to go to the sending districts, elementary schools,
so,
and if they have successful programs.
Along with that, why don't I just ask the sending districts, I have a good rapport with their superintendents, to provide me with their information on their curriculums and what they do for gifted and talented, and next month I'll present that as well. So we'll look at all what the sending districts do, as well as the three types of programs that we could put into effect, and we'll move from there.
Does anyone have any?
May I be afforded that opportunity?
Is anyone opposed to Dr. Cajun looking into this gifted and talented programs? You are afforded that opportunity.
Thank you.
Anyone have any new business they'd like to bring up? We're to our second public forum, where we can discuss any items, agenda, or otherwise. Would anyone like to be heard from the public? Seeing no one. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrow Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be resolved, Massacre Board of Education, that the board shall go into the executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is a student matter. And number four, collective bargaining and update on the MEA negotiations. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. That will not be the case tonight. There will be no further action taken. And do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mrs. Muley, do we have a second? Mr. Serino, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.